Money Talk. This is Akashvani. In the program Money Talk, now we bring you a discussion on measures taken by the government to safeguard energy security in the country. The participants are Shishir Sinha, economic analyst, and Rajesh Lake, anchor.
Hello and welcome to Money Talk. Our focus today is on an issue that touches every Indian home and every enterprise: the availability, supply and equitable distribution of petroleum products and natural gas. From petrol and diesel at the pump to LPG cylinders in our kitchens, to piped gas for industry and city households, ensuring that energy flows smoothly and fairly across the country. This discussion becomes even more important today because the government has just moved under the Essential Commodities Act 1955 to secure LPG supplies amid global tensions. To help us decode this complex landscape, we have with us a very special guest, well-known economic analyst Shishir Sinha. Thank you, Shishir, for joining us on Money Talk.
Thank you, Rajesh.
Shishir, looking at the government's overall approach, what would you identify as the three most important pillars of policy when it comes to regulating the availability, supply and equitable distribution of petroleum products and natural gas in India?
See, we have to think about two scenarios. One, which is the fuel about to be used, which we use in transportation. And the second, the fuel which we use in our kitchen. So at this moment, the priority is to provide more and more relief to the people. There is no doubt that the supply has been disrupted, and we have to prioritize which sector will get more and which sector will get on a priority basis. So you rightly mentioned about the ESMA, Essential Services Maintenance Act, and under that act, that gas thing has been distributed, or rather I would use the word, the priority areas have been defined. The first category, which is more important, is the about the kitchen fuel. And there we are talking about domestic pipe natural gas, better known as the PNG, and the LPG, liquefied petroleum gas. Before that, I would just like to add one line here, that we almost 55% of our gas requirement are through the imported means and 45% through the domestic means. So there's a high dependency on the imported one, and that is why we have to prioritize the supply. So under the first category, the two important part is the PNG, pipe natural gas, and of course the LPG. That would be the first. That means more and more supply will be for these two categories. And in the same priority, we have one for the transport. Because in most of the cities, even if you take example of Delhi, almost all the commercial vehicles are running on the CNG only. So that is the priority number one, that they should be given more and more supply. And of course, for the other essential services. So this is priority number one. Under the second priority, which is equally important, is the farming sector. And there we are talking about the fertilizer companies, whether they will get more and more supply, whether they will get higher supply, that is completely ruled out. What is important here, that they have said that 70% of past 6 month average, because we must remember here that we are soon going to have new sowing season, and for the new sowing season you need more and more fertilizer. That is why, and please remember that gas is mainly used for the urea production, which is consumed in a large quantity. This is priority number two. The third priority is for the industrial sector. We are trying to say that they will get 80% of last 6 month consumption. Then we have the priority number four, which is for the city gas distribution. And then, of course, there are other priorities also. But these are the key priorities. I mean, among the six, I would say the four are the key priorities: the kitchen, then the transport, then the industrial sector, and the fertilizer sector. Why fertilizer sector is very important? Because of the sowing season. So this is how this allocation has been defined under this new order, under this ESMA Act.
As you very rightly said, the government has just invoked emergency powers under ESMA to direct refiners to maximize LPG production from propane and butane streams and to prioritize domestic household supply, barring diversion to petrochemicals. How significant is this step in practical terms for ensuring immediate availability and equitable distribution of LPG to the households?
When the government is focusing on bringing more and more people under the gas, and the time when the gas supply is slightly disrupted because of reasons we all know, there we have to prioritize whatsoever resources we have. Just take the example of Ujjwala. We all know that Ujjwala has been very, very successful. Many of the households are using LPG in place of the wooden fuel. So if we are not able to provide LPG cylinder to them, then of course they will move back to the wooden thing and that the same old story will continue. So at this moment, the priority is the kitchen as well as the essential transportation facility, which is a commercial one in Delhi. Whether we talk about the public transport, whether we talk about the goods carriage, whether we talk about the public carriage. So all those things should be prioritized, and the focus is to get more out of whatsoever resources we have available and give to the kitchen as well as to the public transport, including the goods carriage one.
Shishir, you just mentioned schemes like Ujjwala. They have expanded the LPG connections sharply, but there are concerns about refill affordability and sustained usage among poorer households. Are the current subsidy design and targeting mechanisms sufficient to ensure not just formal availability but real equitable consumption of LPG across income groups?
See, Ujjwala is the only one where we are getting subsidy. Of course, very small amount of subsidy is available under various other schemes also, but Ujjwala is the key area where we are giving maximum subsidy. And the issue which you highlighted about the refill, I mean, the norms has been changed that you can book your cylinder after a gap of 25 days only. Earlier it was lesser than that. Why it has been done? So that people should not go for hoarding. See, there is a fear psychology which always work, and we say that you should go and have more and more cylinder at your home. But that is also a dangerous thing. If you have more than, say, two cylinder, three cylinders, I mean, of course, two cylinder is something which is a very normal thing. But if you are keeping three cylinder, it can also be a dangerous thing. And we also have to keep in mind that what kind of usage pattern is there. I mean, 14.2 kg cylinder, what kind of time it is taking, how much time required for consuming that 14.2 kg. So I believe that the move of giving 25 days for rebooking, and also the capping of 12 cylinder year. Under the Ujjwala, you can get 12 cylinder a year, and the subsidy is 300 rupees. So 12 cylinder a year for a family of four is sufficient, and the effort to ensure that there should not be hoarding, because we are seeing long queues in various tier two, tier three cities where the news about shortage and news about things we may not get after 2 days or 3 days or 5 days, something is spread like fire. So that is what we have to stop it, and that is why all these regulations have been announced, all these changes have been announced.
So we've been talking about, the continuous supply. There are pipelines, refineries, depots, coastal terminals, and last mile distribution networks are very critical for the smooth supply. Where do you see the biggest infrastructure and logistics gaps that could threaten continuous supply in certain regions, and what concrete steps is the government taking to plug these gaps over the next few years?
If you talk about the shortage, let me start with the current scenario where we are finding that we are not getting gas in enough quantity from Qatar, which is the largest supplier of natural gas to India. So can we have the alternative? But the problem with the alternative is that the alternative, if we go for, say, country like Canada or country like US or other countries, the time of bringing that gas to India will be much, much longer, and the cost will also be very high. So that is one problem in the short run. Now, what is the solution in the medium run and in the long term? Can we have a strong storage capacity, like many of the countries have a good storage capacity for gases as well as for the petroleum product? Of course, we have the storage facility for all the petroleum product, but is that sufficient? And nobody would have imagined this kind of situation where the supply will be completely disrupted, or it will be almost kind of stop kind of situation. So there we have to think about, I mean, after this crisis is over, that can we build a strong infrastructure for storage, and what is the alternative source, and what would be the cost of bringing that gas for that? Because if you take, say, a week for bringing gas from Qatar, and if you are spending 45 days for bringing gas from some other part of the world and the cost is very, very high, then in that situation, the things will be much, much difficult for that. And the price will also go up. And the government also has limited resources, how much subsidy it can give on LPG cylinder or for the PNG or other thing. So all those things, I believe, you have to keep in mind. And what we understand that now the government is also made an arrangement of bringing 1 million ton of LPG cargo, mostly from US, but that will take some time. So can we have lesser time period for that? So these are something which we have to bridge the gap in the medium term and in the longer term.
The government wants to actually, Shashir, raise the share of natural gas in India's energy mix and is pushing city gas distribution aggressively. What specific regulatory and infrastructure measures are being used to ensure that piped gas and CNG availability is not limited to few metros but is equally expanded to Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities and semi-urban India as well?
If we have to expand the city gas distribution system, whether we talk about the bigger city or the cosmos, we also have to think about that what kind of infrastructure we are going to have in Tier 2 cities, Tier 3 cities, because there the storage is the real problem. And every time, depending upon the nearby bigger cities to bring that or to set up a big pipeline thing, that is one solution. But we also have to think about how to develop a good storage capacity. And in those cities like Tier 2, Tier 3s or the semi-urban cities, that would be really, really helpful in expanding the city gas distribution. And there's no doubt that government is putting more and more focus on uses of gas. And of course, dependency on gas has come down. But going by the current situation, again, the dependency will go up because the domestic production is not in a position to fill that gap.
As India talks of cleaner fuels, Shashir, and a higher share of gas and renewables, is there a risk that underinvestment in conventional petroleum distribution infrastructure could create pockets of scarcity or quality issues during the transition period?
One problem we are facing is that, of course, the public sector investment is very high. I mean, if I go by the latest figure of CPSEs, we are finding that Indian Oil, Hindustan Petroleum, Bharat Petroleum, they are investing in a good quantity with the good numbers. But the problem is that whether the same kind of investment we are getting from the private investors also, from the private sector also, the answer is not that much. Of course, some of the bigger companies in the private sector, they have developed some capacity there. They are investing, but we need more and more such investment. And then only we will have a much better situation and we will be a much more better strategy to meet this kind of crisis. Because going by the current geopolitical situation, this kind of crisis can emerge anytime. And we have to think about that, what should be the key thing.
Okay, Shashir. Since states control a large part of taxation and local levies on petroleum products, how much does center-state coordination affect uniform and equitable distribution and effective pricing across the country? Do you see a case of more predictable framework that will respect state fiscal autonomy?
At this moment, the petrol, diesel are attracting central excise as well as the state sales tax also, or VAT, whatsoever name we have. For LPG, it is a part of GST, so there the rate is lower. So for the gas thing, we have slightly better situation as compared to petrol and diesel in terms of taxation because the LPG is attracting GST. Now the thing is that can GST rate can be brought down? I believe that the rate on LPG cylinder is just 5%. So it cannot be brought down to zero. Now, can we have another sources like CNG under the natural gas, CNG and the PNG? Can we brought down the taxes here? Of course, the possibility is there. So there, both center and the states have to work together. Understand that the petrol, diesel, you don't want to do it because that's a big source of money for you. But gas is not giving the kind of tax revenue. So there, the possibility is always there. Bring it down to a minimal level to make it affordable and also to help the companies to get what we call as the input tax credit. Because if it is completely exempted, then there will be a lot of issues in terms of the taxation structure, or rather, I would say the input tax credit structure.
Okay. On that note, Shashir, we would like to thank you for being with us on Money Talk, and thank you very much for being with us on Akashvani.
Thank you, Rajesh.
You were listening to a discussion on measures taken by the government to safeguard energy security in the country. The participants were Shashir Sinha, economic analyst, and Rajesh Lake, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani.
Money Talk.